Have you had your soup today?
And the cold, crisp taste of Coke is so satisfying, it keeps me from eating something else that might really add those pounds.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to our episode of Sheologians. We're here today to put the her in genre.
For a second, I was like, John.
I was like, we're putting the John in. And I was like, oh, no.
No,
she's
no,
saying her,
not that one.
The her and her. Genre.
Her. Yeah,
it's genre. There.
It's there.
Genre.
I want it to be. My neighbor's so
hopefully
Yeager.
You all know the rules by now.
If you don't know the rules, you're new around here. I'm here with my beautiful co-host Joy. And I just wanted to make sure that you saw that after we posted our Gypsy Rose discussion, I had so many comments and emails from people saying,
I did see it got lots of attention.
2016, 2017 was a game changer. It was crazy. It was a lot. And not only that, but Aaron Wren wrote a book called he has a book about what he calls Negative World, and he says that Negative World started in 2014. So like, we're not the only people who everybody noticed. And so I'm still thinking about it. I'm going to continue and continually be thinking about what was that? What happened?
Right.
So anyway, I just want to make sure you knew that. And I heard you guys. You guys responded.
You get it. They get it.
Everyone gets it. Let's see. Join book club.
Sorry, I just started thinking about if 2016, and then I just started asking myself a bunch of other questions, but that's not why we're here today.
No, not today. Don't forget to join book club. That's happening at patreon.com/sheologians. It's also just how you can support the show, and you can leave us a voicemail at 470-465-0475. It is not too late to join this round of book club. We are going to be discussing our first section of reading this week, on Wednesday. So, it's going to be a great time and you are invited. Let's see. I don't have anything else to tell them. I've wanted to talk about this for a long time, but I haven't had the right formulation of ideas to quite express it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about the genre. This genre of advice that I think most people think is super benign and maybe even helpful, that I personally think is malignant and unhelpful. Like, talk about negative world. I think this is negative world talk. And is this me being nitpicky? I don't think so. Maybe someone will, but I don't think so. So here's where I'm coming from. You know, and you've probably read some posts. Well, let me pull out an example of, you know, the poems. Oh, the poems. Oh, these ones really get me because they're so sentimental. The poems with the watercolor painting of the mom rocking the baby or
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, don't do your dishes. Don't sweep the floor because your baby is not always going to be a baby and you're going to miss this so much. You're going to cry yourself to sleep.
You're gonna miss your dirty dish sink. You're gonna miss those days.
Oh my goodness. I think I see a post like this or a reel, right? Okay, so it used to be posts, now it's reels and TikToks, but whatever. You see these, you know, don't worry about your life because you need to soak up whatever moment this is in front of you, and don't, and I just find it to be some seriously unhelpful. Joy just like threw her headphones off her
head. Sorry, my headphones just like flew off my head.
I find this now, and here's what I want to say is I understand that there are probably, it can be helpful to be reminded that whatever moment you're in is not going to last forever. That's fine. That's true. But what I find we tend to do, particularly as women, as we pursue nostalgia as a way of escape, as a way of not actually being in the moment and preferring the days of yore, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this is like really histrionic. It's like rewriting the past. I think one of the worst things, and I know I think this is partially a thing that we do when we get older and we go, oh man, I miss how things used to be. I wish mm-hmm. that I had blah, blah, blah. This is a genre of what I think people want to think of as like benign regret. It really seems like an expression of regret to me mm-hmm. from people who were in your similar season of life, but are no longer. And the verse that always comes to my mind is that verse in Ecclesiastes that very explicitly says, it's Ecclesiastes 7:10. Do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. And so, you know, we've talked about before about like waiting your turn, like there being seasons of life that you're in that are more difficult than others, or there being a season of life that you wish that you were in that you're not. And of course, yeah. Am I just saying you need to be content in the moment that you're in? Yes. And I think that might be what some of that genre is trying to encourage, but I think it totally flops on its face. I think it fails because the reality is if you are in that season, that example that I gave of your baby is a baby and, you know, babies don't keep whatever. It's like babies don't keep. So don't manage your household, or like babies don't keep. So just never have a clean kitchen. And we make fun of the, you know, nap when the baby naps, and it's like, okay, well then I'll clean when the baby cleans, or, you know, then I'll homeschool when the baby homeschools. That kind of like very baby led idea of life. One of the reasons it's not helpful, and I don't think it's wisdom, is not only is it an excessively sentimental yearning for some past portion of life, but it doesn't actually help the mom who is feeling overwhelmed and is wanting to enjoy the moment, but also has a lot going on. I hate that idea of like, you need to enjoy every single moment. And then just like heaping this idea on women, particularly young women, that if they are not managing to figure out how to enjoy every single moment that they're experiencing, that they're doing something wrong. Like ultimately mm-hmm. our joy is not a moment to moment thing. Like it should be anchored on something outside of ourselves, outside of our circumstances, outside of our particular season of life. That heaping this idea that your job is to figure out how to be so happy that you're single and you don't want to be, or you're haven't slept in 3 weeks and the kitchen smells like trash. Like that's not actual practical, helpful advice. Like, it's just not. And then sending a woman a picture of a lady in a rocking chair and an old woman missing the rocking chair is so wildly unhelpful that I hate it. I hate it so much.
What I think about is that song, which this is not a song about like a mom and their kids, but that don't want to close my eyes, don't want to fall asleep because I love you, babe.
And I don't want to miss a thing.
Watching you sleep. Like,
oh, whoa. Or
the other thing, which is much closer to what you're talking about, is the book, I Love You Forever. Oh. Which I love that book because my mom read that book
of
to
course,
me growing yes. up. And so many people our age and everyone has their own little version of the song and everything.
Yes.
But in that book, the mom, I'm pretty sure, gets a ladder, breaks into her son's house and sings him the song into his sleeping ear. Like stands over him while he doesn't live in her house anymore.
Like, do you know how wildly inappropriate that would be?
If you saw someone walking through your neighbor's backyard with a ladder, an old lady, and setting it up and climbing up it and crawling in the window, you wouldn't be like, that mom just loves her son so much.
So normal. That's so normal.
Healthy. That's healthy. Oh. That's just what I think of. Not that I'm saying soaking up moments with your children are creepy, but they're just, that's just an extreme.
The behavior you just, yes. Well, and that's part of what I'm talking about too, is that if we're applying this to the mom genre, and it applies to far more than just moms, but if we're applying it to the mom genre, it's true that babies don't keep, but you don't.
Right.
And it's okay to acknowledge the reality that when you're like, your baby is an inexpressibly sweet thing to have. But the point of a baby is not to stay a baby.
Right.
Like the reason that it's funny to think of an old woman climbing into her son's room is that we all know that that's wildly weird and not appropriate behavior.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is our message as Christian women should be that it's so sweet. It's inexpressibly sweet to have a baby. But when that baby turns into a toddler, that's also a sweet time of life. And when that toddler turns into a little kid, that's also a sweet time of life. And when that kid is a teenager, hey, I know we don't talk about teenagers this way, but that's also a sweet time of life. Mm-hmm. You should be raising your kids and looking at your current life as the gift that it is. It's not just a gift when they're babies. It's not just a gift when it's over.
Yeah.
I think there's a way to acknowledge the difficulty and the challenges in each season without unnecessarily over romanticizing it. And I do think that nostalgia is a thing that women in particular are given to. And sure, we might need, you know, your friend might need some admonishment or some encouragement to enjoy their current season of life or to enjoy their babies. We should be admonishing, encouraging women to enjoy their teenagers as well. I don't ever want to saddle any one of my friends or other women with this idea that, you know, they missed out because they didn't experience the right amount of excitement for each moment of their life.
Right.
Not every moment of your life is something that is going to be marked indelibly into your brain forever. And if that's your goal every day, you're just running a race that's so exhausting and so probably unnecessary, like completely unnecessary. This kind of you know, the work of the Christian life is not convincing yourself that things aren't hard when they're hard, or it really is the work of convincing yourself that what is true is true. And I think that's the difference between having a nostalgic outlook and having an outlook that's rooted in reality. I don't ever want to be that person that's just like, oh, wasn't it better way back when? Wasn't it better when? Or won't it be better when? Like, the only time I want to say that about is, you know, eternity, essentially. But like, not in a way that diminishes contentment.
Yeah.
But just this idea that you have to squeeze every last drop out of life, and you know, you all have the stomach flu. You're going to miss this. Like, you're going to miss when, like, are you guys okay? Are the people saying this okay? Because you don't sound okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think that, yeah. Well, yeah, so certainly there's a difference between genuine joy and nostalgia. So yeah, there's a distinction you're making there. You're not talking about genuinely enjoying your family, but I do think, I think you touched on my real just first reaction to it, is that we are compensating for something here. Not that everyone who has used the phrase or has enjoyed a poem about the sweet little years,
sure.
I'm not saying that.
No,
this is not like a semantics thing where, like, if you've ever used these words, you're wrong and you better rethink what you're doing.
Right.
So it's just, I think the reason you see a lot of this is because we are missing a lot, because we're wasting a lot of time. I think that it is flattering in a lot of instances. So let me just give you an example of why that might be flattering. If a woman sits on her phone and ignores her children for 6 hours a day, and she's supposed to be homeschooling, feeding, maybe playing with them even a little bit, doing laundry, doing some dishes, keeping everything moving so that everyone in the household can keep moving. This includes the children. This includes, do all of my memories of the past include stinky piles of laundry everywhere? Like, no. That's because we take the time to do the work, to keep our space functional and healthy for everybody.
Yes.
And just orderly and beautiful, even. Not just like the bare, we're not just talking about efficiency here. I do think that you're dealing with a compensation. Well, okay, so what I was saying is that if a mom is spending all this time wasting her time, if she's wasting all her time, then she's likely to feel guilty at the end of the day about missing time with her kids and everything else. She's likely to feel guilty that her house is not a functioning, beautiful place. And in those moments, the best encouragement for her is for her to stop wasting her time. What is flattery is for her to say, well, you know, these little ones just grow up so fast. Just make sure you're spending time with them, only for her tomorrow to repeat the same thing. Because let's face it, if that is a habit of yours, you need to be honest. Scrolling TikTok and ignoring your kids, scrolling Facebook and ignoring your kids is a routine practice. It's not something that many people do once a week. Every Saturday, I just scroll. And that's it. That's my day for scrolling and ignoring everybody in the family. And even then, I'm sorry, you don't get days where you just get to ignore everyone. If you do that, you're likely creating an environment that your household is not going to look back on favorably. If we really want to talk about nostalgia here. So I do think that there's two ends of the spectrum. There is the mom that is so focused in keeping her household orderly and running that she legitimately is ignoring her family, which again counts as wasting your time. Just because you're hyper productive does not mean you're not wasting your time. And then, like I said, I already described the other end of the spectrum, which is that you are wasting your time by doing nothing.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that you need to figure out, you need to grow in maturity and learn what is a productive use of your time. Undeniably, that includes many, many things. Good thing women are so good at multitasking and so good at juggling multiple tasks and reaching multiple goals throughout the day. It's a really good thing that you already have that skill.
Right.
You may have to grow it a little bit. You may have to mature it a little bit and shape it. But I don't think the best, most helpful advice is to say, well, this is all going so fast. It's you just got to soak up every moment. I also think it's a bit of an overcompensation. This like pathological need to tuck every moment away. I think that, so it may not seem like it, but track with me here. There is almost a fear of things going away.
Yes.
Like quick, capture this moment because it's going to be gone. This is Old Faithful at Yellowstone. It's going off and it doesn't go off all day. This is, you know, whatever, insert moment here. You better capture it. Otherwise it's going to be gone. And I think that can sometimes reveal a fear about not, it's not so much about you better capture it. It's more about this is going to be gone. And we have to have a faithful response because it is all going to be gone. And I don't think that the advice, spend more time with your kids, is bad advice. I really don't think that's bad advice. In general, there are exceptions. I could list a million of them. If we had a more argumentative audience, I might list some, but I'm not going to, because I think you guys all understand what I'm saying. But all of this is going away. And that's why you should be productive here. And I don't, like, again, remember what I said about the woman that is just hyper productive but doesn't do anything important.
Right.
She, like, productive doesn't just mean doing a lot of things. Productive doesn't just mean ignoring my phone and checking the boxes of my goals or the things that I had planned to do today. But I think what this reveals is just there is a shortage of knowing the right thing to do. What is productive? And we're doing an episode on this in a few weeks. I don't know exactly when, but what am I made for? What do I, what is good for me to do? There's plenty of good things to do and things that are productive and keep your house clean and will help you make friends and will help you be smarter. But what does that look like? What is important and productive? What does good work actually look like? And so I think it reveals, it may not always be flattery and it may not always be just not the best advice, but it may just reveal, like you were talking about, sort of this superficial nostalgia above really working through how you should actually spend your day.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we have lots of directionless, purposeless, and for a lot of women, feeling worthless. We have a lot of that nowadays. Just because no one is really disciplining themselves to think, what is the best use of my time?
Right.
How does that work? How does that right. look? And it's frustrating. I get it. Because really the best use of your time is to do something different every day. And yeah, that stinks. And this is, I truly believe this is a part of the bitterness of feminism, is like, it is so much easier to get up, get dressed, clock in, do a thing for 8 hours, and then clock out, come home and do the same thing. That's so much routine oriented. It's perfect, but you're also not, well, depending on your job, but and you know, not every man's job is like that. Even that's a pretty much an oversimplification, but of life in general. But I just think we sometimes we're not putting enough thought into it. Mm. And sometimes we're wanting it to be too much of a set it and forget it. Like, I just want to set my routine and just have that run in perpetuity for the rest of my life till I die. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. And, and you are going, the fruit of that is going to be superficial.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, and I think,
hopefully
I
made a point there.
You did.
There.
Yeah. I think I'll be curious to hear from people how specific this kind of this genre that we're talking about was for our age group or was for social media. But I remember having to overcome this advice as a first-time mom. I remember, you know, a decade ago just being inundated with this message that I had to figure out every single day how to never ever forget what my baby's face looked like. And I remember it making me feel really insecure. Like, am I enjoying it? Am I going to miss it? Am I like just kind of fearful of like, am I soaking it up? Am I appreciating it enough? Mm-hmm. Am I filling up this tank of enjoyment and not missing a thing appropriately? That I had to come to a place where I can say with complete honesty to myself, I have enjoyed my little ones as much as I possibly can. I don't, mm-hmm. I had to come to a place where I was like, no, I am enjoying, yeah. I am doing it. Hey, everybody who's telling me I'm not doing it enough, yeah. or I'm not savoring the moment or whatever. Like that's why I kind of bring regret into it a little bit, is it seems like part of the message is just like, is regret, is like you said, an overcompensation for whatever was going on. But it's like, I don't ever look back and go, wow, I just really did not appreciate this or that, because I still to this day, all of those little ones that were little that are not so little anymore, I'm still enjoying them. Like, I still like them.
Right.
Like, I don't, yeah. I don't ever look at them and go, oh, I wish you were different. Like, I wish you were a baby. Like, I don't feel that. I don't see a reason why we should encourage women to possibly feel that. Or to think that, hey, did you, I see you're having a great time with your 11-year-old. Did you appreciate them enough when mm-hmm. they were two? Is such a weird vibe yeah. to me.
Well, so yeah, I think you touched on it earlier, which is that because our culture doesn't discipline their children, they're all horrible by the time they get big.
Mm.
By the time they hit 8, they have their 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7-year-old problems because they're not being disciplined.
Mm.
They're not being told that anything is right or wrong. Mm. And so there's a reason that teenagers have a reputation for being generally unpleasant. And it's because they're allowed to be that way by their parents
mm.
and taught to be that way. And never, some of those are 2-year-old, they are seriously 2-year-old issues that a 2-year-old struggles with. And they're just still dealing with it because
it nobody ever dealt told. With when they were two.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also, I think it comes from culturally a place where motherhood is like this tiny blip of mm-hmm. your life. You're talking about a culture that maybe has three kids, mm-hmm. maybe three per family. That's considered a large family.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're talking about people who are, in a way, it's like, clearly you wanted more children. Mm-hmm. Why not just have more children? Like, right. if you love the experience of, if you love those stages,
you can do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. You and not, and then also, if you just love time with your kids, why not just raise pleasant human beings that you like to be around, and you won't miss anything with them. You will yeah. still get to experience and,
yeah.
and the sweeter, it's like the sweetness of them growing. Yeah. And not being so there is a sweetness. There is something about Georgia's age and her just being so dependent. And we ran some errands before we recorded today and we got home and the amount of questions that she asked me while we were out, I don't say this in like a bitter way. I mean, I was like mentally depleted. We were doing school and I was like saying the answer in the question to her because I just couldn't. We had been talking nonstop about just like the questions of the world that I'm like, so I'm like, does giraffe start with G? And I'm pointing to the G and she obviously knows that, instead of saying, what does giraffe start with? Like, right. I'm saying it all wrong. There's something about that and her just always wanting to be near me and close to me. And a million times a day, she gives me a kiss and a hug. And she goes, I'm doing that because I love you. And then, but I also know that it's going to be so wonderful to read the Ransom trilogy with her and right. just be like, whoa,
yes.
what did you think about that?
Yes.
I remember my first time reading that. And that is such there's nothing wrong with remembering things you did in the past. There's nothing wrong with it. What we're talking about is this sort of weird, sickly, sweet, very super, like superficial, flattering kind of soak it all. Just I would say, just don't. The concept of mom guilt is such a thing, and it's so weaponized by feminists that I can't even. The answer to if someone is making you feel guilty for something, and you assess, and you legitimately don't need to feel guilty because you're doing that thing, just don't be yeah. burdened by that.
Yeah.
Don't be burdened by that.
Yeah.
And I do think that we should seek to not be burdened by things that don't apply to us. If someone's not talking about us, then they're not talking about us. The next time you see that, something like that, just assume like, oh, that person's clearly talking to someone that is not paying attention to their children. That's good advice for someone that's not paying any attention to their kids.
Yeah.
And then we should also, though, we should want to speak in a fruitful and meaningful way. So just make sure that if you're giving that advice, it's to your friend that doesn't spend any time with her children.
Yeah.
And just make sure you're giving good that. Sometimes we give advice because we don't know what to say. And a lot of times that ends up being flattery. And just if you don't have anything meaningful to say to your friend, just don't say anything. Just be like, love ya.
Yeah. yeah.
Here I am.
Yeah.
What are you making for dinner?
I think if you are feeling, I think just remember whatever stage of life you're in, something to always remember is that it is pointing to eternity. So yeah. your baby is supposed to grow up and you are not supposed to climb into their bedroom window when they're 35. And embracing that your relationship is supposed to grow and change is actually the best way to fully enjoy each moment. Like, if you want to fully enjoy, truly enjoy each moment, you have to embrace the change, the fact that your relationship is going to change, and it is going to change rightfully. It is meant to change. So while it's totally appropriate for you to go into your 12-month-old son's bedroom at night if he needs something, it is not appropriate for you to do that to your 27-year-old son's bedroom at night. And
that, who clearly hasn't given you a key, because you have to get a ladder and break into his second story window.
I think what I'm saying is, have a view of your life where each season is natural and it's supposed to come with its own appropriate changes, and being sad about those is not going to help you actually soak up each moment. Because if you're sad about your baby not being a baby, you're probably not enjoying your 11-year-old being 11. And that's where I think the problem is. And that's the thing that we need to be at peace with. And we need to be at peace that, okay, I had my baby, I enjoyed my baby. Now I have a teenager, and this is what I am going to enjoy now. And so what I'm just trying to make sure I totally delete from my vocabulary is any sort of wistful wishing for the days of yore, whether that be in my own life or in my kids' lives, because I think it reveals a lack of contentment and a lack of acceptance that we are called to grow and change. And I want to spend eternity with my kids. I don't want a baby that stays a baby forever. Like, and that's good, and that's normal, and that's okay. So that's it. Whatever. I hate that advice. And I do think it goes directly against, I hate the advice that makes you feel as though you have to miss the days of yore. And it's not that you have to, you should look back on them, I think, a certain way, but not in a way of like, wow, that was so much better. Wasn't it better when? Is the thing that we are explicitly told that's not a wise way to look at your life.
Yeah, I guess my final thought would just be, hopefully this isn't too, well, this is one way to close out an episode.
Yes.
Which is that, like, this is all ending.
Yeah.
All of it.
All of it.
The phases, the breaths, the everything, at some point for all of us, it's all ending. And I think that if you are having trouble with that, I think that is completely normal. It is a completely, I'm not saying it's faithful. There's a difference between faithful and normal. I think you need some discipleship in it. And look, I say this because this is an area of maturing that I still have to go through. Mm-hmm. But this is not something, a fear of things ending. Don't just do nothing with that. Do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with your husband or your friends or your pastor, depending on how much fear we have. I'm just humbly, the fear gets bad. You might need it. If you are afraid, but here's the thing, is it all ends. Sometimes in a nice little bow with, you know, and sometimes in a way that's not what we expected. I think that, that's really, for me, what this is saying is that just some fear of seasons ending. And to me, the ultimate end is death. And I know some people might be like, this is a leap, Joy. This is a stretch. It's not a stretch in my mind. And so maybe that's me being, maybe that's me being vulnerable or just trying to be humble with you guys. But this does end. It's supposed to. It wasn't originally supposed to end. But that's how it works now, since the fall. And you, if you have fear about something that is sovereign, that God is completely in control of, that you need to talk to somebody about that and make sure that you're addressing that, because it won't get better. It will get worse.
That's right.
And so, yeah, I think that they're somewhere hidden in this statement. And again, not in everyone who's ever uttered these words, but somewhere in this statement or this idea is an anxiety and a fear of a season ending. And for some women, it is quite literally the death of their children. This is what I need to make sure I'm soaking in every moment, because what if something happens to my child and I want to make sure I have everything and I have this and I have these memories and I have these pictures and all this stuff. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's not living a life of faithfulness. You're not able to work when you're constantly
in
trying
fear.
To hold together your life and the life of your child and the life of everyone around you, and just waiting for the end to come. It's you know, I think there's some instances of this where it could even be construed as somewhat innocent, but if you're really honest, we either ourselves know or we know someone that has been overcome just by fear of the end. And so this is not, it's just, please don't ignore it if it's that for you. It can be, you can feel better. You really can. It's not just about feelings. You can be better. You're by being discipled and ministered and growing. So just don't be afraid. That might sound simpler, but that's in the Bible. So,
so it's good to say.
Yeah,
it's good to say, because it's
anyway.
Totally with you. Okay, all right, you guys, don't be afraid. You can leave us a voicemail at 470-465-0475, and we will see y'all next week.
I cry to you, O Lord. O my Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my pleas for mercy.